As war slogged on in Italy, Generals Eisenhower, Patton, and Montgomery returned to England to plan a cross-channel invasion. In the meantime, British and American bombers were turning the tables on Berlin. Ed Murrow had lobbied Paul White and William S. Paley, his bosses at CBS, to be allowed to go on a bombing run. In late 1943, they finally relented, and on December 3rd, Murrow reported his experience of the previous night's attack on Berlin. The plane he flew in was a British Lancaster called D for Dog, and the pilot's name was Jock Abercrombie.
Jock's quiet voice came through the intercom. "That'll be flak ahead. We were approaching the enemy coast." The flak looked like a cigarette lighter in a dark room, one that won't light. Sparks, but no flame. The clouds below us were white and we were black. D-Dog seemed like a black bug on a white sheet. The flak began coming up, but none of it close. We were still a long way from Berlin. I didn't realize just how far. The sky ahead was lit up by bright yellow flares. Off to starboard, another kite went down in flame. The flares were sprouting all over the sky, reds and greens and yellows, and we were flying straight for the center of the firework. And then, with no warning at all, B-Dog was filled with an unhealthy white light. I was standing just behind Jock. His quiet Scots voice beat into my ears. "Steady, lads. We've been coned." And then I was on my knees, flat on the deck, for he had whipped the dog back into a climbing turn. The knees should have been strong enough to support me, but they weren't. And the stomach seemed in some danger of letting me down, too. I picked myself up and looked out again. It seemed that one big searchlight, instead of being 20,000 feet below, was mounted right on our wingtip. D-Dog was corkscrewing. As we rolled down on the other side, I began to see what was happening to Berlin. The small incendiaries were going down like a fistful of white rice thrown on a piece of black velvet. As Jock hauled the dog up again, I was thrown to the other side of the cockpit. And there below were more incendiaries, glowing white and then turning red. The cookies, the 4,000-pound high explosives, were bursting below like great sunflowers gone mad. And then as we started down again, still held in the light, I remembered that the dog still had one of those cookies and a whole basket of incendiaries in his belly, and the light still held it. And I was very frightened. Finally, we were out of the cone, flying level. I looked down, and the white fires had turned red. They were beginning to merge and spread, just like butter does on a hot plate. Jock and Boz, the bomb aimer, began to discuss the target. The bomb doors were open. Boz called his direction, and then there was a gentle, confident upward thrust under my feet, and Boz said, "Cookie gone." A few seconds later, the incendiaries went, and D-Dog seemed lighter and easier to handle. We flew level then. I looked on the fourth beam at the target area. There was a red, sullen, obscene glare. The fires seemed to have found each other, and we were heading home. For a little while, it was smooth sailing. We saw more battles, then another plane in flame, but no one could tell whether it was ours or theirs. And Jock held her steady, and the flak began coming up at it. It seemed to be very close. It was winking off both wings, but the dog was steady. And a great orange blob of flak smacked up straight in front of us. And Jock said, "I think they're shooting at us." I'd thought so for some time. And he began to throw D for Dog up, around, and about again. When we were clear of the barrage, I asked him how close the burst were, and he said, "Not very close. When they're really near, you can smell them." That proved nothing, for I'd been holding my breath. "Dave," the navigator said, "we're crossing the coast." My mind went back to the time I had crossed that coast in 1938 in a plane that had taken off from Prague. Just ahead of me sat two refugees from Vienna, an old man and his wife. The co-pilot came back and told them that we were outside German territory. The old man reached out and grasped his wife's hand. The work that was done last night was a massive blow of retribution for all those who have fled from the sound of shots and blows on a stricken continent. Berlin.
Berlin was a kind of orchestrated hell, a terrible symphony of light and flame.
In just 35 minutes, Berlin had been hit with about three times the firepower London had ever received in a single night-long blitz. On that mission, three other reporters had gone out with different planes. Two didn't come back. One bailed out over Germany and was taken prisoner. The other died. Over the next year and a half, Ed Murrow would take part in more than two dozen bombing runs.